Toronto Park District of Order. Lisa, please call the roll.
Commissioner Bourne?
Here.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes. Here.
Chair Ludden?
Here.
Well, thank you.
Are there any matters from the public?
Public?
Hearing no matters from the public, we'll move on to the discussion of the fiscal year 2016-17 annual audit and board management letter and other related items. Carol?
Yes. I would like to introduce Ron Amon, the managing partner from Lauterbach and Amon, and he will give a brief overview summary of all the reports and then open it up to any specific questions that you might have. Ron, it's all yours.
Thanks, Carol. Often because I forget, I need to make sure I thank Carol. This process is long and exhausting. I think for your staff, it starts back in February. We meet with her and lay out a plan and come out, we do prelim work, and then we do field work, and then we go through drafts and things. So Carol's cooperation and professionalism is greatly appreciated by our staff. So first thing I'm going to do is go through the big document, if you guys have one. It's the annual financial report. In there, just kind of starting at the beginning and go through a couple of the pages that I want to make sure we highlight tonight. On pages 1 and 2 it's on the Lauterbach and Amon letterhead. It's the auditor's opinion. All units of government are required by state statute to have an auditor's opinion, and our opinion is clean or unmodified, which is the only opinion you want from your auditors. And that opinion is based on that your financial statements are materially correct based on our auditing procedures. Right behind the auditor's opinion is a section called the management discussion and analysis, and I always tell the boards that this is your footnotes. It's an attempt to take and condense and have management, which is your the park district, to be able to give some explanations, and it's kind of outside of the context is what our hands are tied in the professional world of in the document. So it's kind of the cliff notes version of the audit. Behind there, I'm going to flip to page 5. So this is just regular page 5, not the MD&A. What I'm going to try to do, my intent tonight is to kind of walk you through the two different sets of financial statements that governments are required to disclose the financial information for. So on page 5 is what we, in lay people's terms, it's an income statement. It is on the basis of accounting what we call full accrual accounting. So it's what every other entity other than governments present their financial information on. And so the important number on this page is the third line up from the bottom, says the change in net position, and it's $1,454,000. So your fund balance, your equity, your net position increased by $1.4 million for the year. I'm going to come back to that number in a second, but what I'm going to do now is flip to pages 9 and 10. So 9 and 10 is an income statement in very specific context of what the government world is required to report in. And the words that are used for this is modified accrual. And modified accrual has differences of fixed assets and long-term debt from what full accrual accounting is. So on pages 9 and 10, I want to focus on the third line up from the bottom again and walk you from left to right and show you that your general fund had an increase of $404,000 for the year. So a very positive increase in your general fund, and your recreation fund had a $558,000 increase. And then your debt service was $18,000 positive, and you can see your capital projects had a decrease in fund balance of $1.1 million. And then you have a series of what we call non-major funds, and they had also a decrease of $102,000. So the far right column, that third line up from the bottom, shows a $283,000 decrease in fund balance. And that 283 is based on how you guys budget. It's based on how Carol operates on a day-to-day basis of this modified accrual basis of accounting. So if we flip the page and look at page 11, you can see this reconciliation page takes the 283, which is under that modified accrual basis of accounting, and it has a whole bunch of reconciling items, and the bottom number is that $1,454,000. So what this does is it says if we're in modified accrual, you had a decrease in fund balance of $283,000, but if you get to the bottom in full accrual accounting, you had a positive of $1,004,000. So in my accounting terms, what does that mean? The simplest way I always explain this is you've invested into the future. So if the number at the bottom of the page is higher than the number at the top of the page, it means you've invested in things like capital assets and you've paid down your debt. and those are investments into the future. So what you guys have done is put $1.7 million, almost $1.8 million into the future, which is all the capital that you guys spent, and you paid down debt during the year. So if you see a negative 283 on that modified accrual, it doesn't paint the true picture. The true picture is everything else you guys did. So, and then the last page is in there, but let's move on to the management letter, and then we can come back to that if you guys have other questions. But in the management letter that we issued, there's two comments. One current year comment, which is the smaller bound document that we provided to you. The first current comment is related to one of those new GASBs, the Government Accounting Standards Board. And so what our firm has always taken the approach of is whenever there is one that's actually going to affect what happens to you guys, is we like to start the educational process. So this is the first year it's been in the management letter. You see in there that you'll be February of 19 when you're going to need to implement this new GASB. And it's talking about other post-employment benefits and how there's going to be some new calculations and they're going to have to be actuarially determined to see what extent you guys have liabilities towards other post-employment benefits. So we'll continue to work with Carol and work through the educational process when we do next year's audit in 18 and then implementation in 19. So, and then the other comment is a carryover comment from last year and then February of 16, you can see there was one fund over budget, your debt service fund, and then you can see in February of 17, there are two funds that are over budget. One was over budget by $539, and one was over budget by $32. Huh. But I know.
Carol.
I know. You feel like he's owing you.
But let me clarify, please. What we do think is important as a firm is to make sure that when people are over budget, it can become troublesome. And these numbers obviously are kind of funny, but we have the firm standard that we say if you're over budget even by a dollar, it's something that we put in your management letter. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're very small and immaterial amounts. But it's our firm standard of what we do and how we approach the audit, that even if it's a dollar, you know, next year it could be a million. And so we don't want to, you know, not put, you know, it's kind of funny or comical, but it is obviously important to be aware of. So from there, if there's comments about the management letter or about the annual financial report or about our audit process, I'd be more than happy to take any of those.
Ron, with respect to the GASB change, is it too early to tell or can you comment on whether it's likely to result in a really material change to our finances?
For you, the standard, the way it's written now, and they do not, a lot of times the GASB will encourage early implementation, but they're not doing it towards this one. It's based on the number of staff you have, and it's based on your salary levels, and then it's based on the age of the eligible employees who get health insurance. Mm-hmm. So for you guys, you know, as an auditor, if I told you it's $50,000 and it's going to be put on the balance sheet as a liability, the important part of this is it's not going to affect your cash flow. Mm-hmm. What it's going to affect is it's going to be put on there as a future liability based on the calculation that an actuary does that's out there in the future.
Right. And so it's not a change in how much we have to pay.
Correct.
So
right. So, and part of my answer comes back to $50,000 to one person as a liability that's non-cash can be material, but to someone else they say it just is what it is and it's not a big deal because it's not truly affecting our budgeting policies or our cash flow needs. So you know, in my best guess, is it going to be $1 million? I can tell you no, it's not going to be $1 million. Is it somewhere between zero and maybe $100,000? That's probably my best guess right now.
Thanks, that's all.
Yeah. Who calculates that number? Do we have to, does your firm do that, or do we have a third party that calculates that?
An actuary has to do it. Mm-hmm. They have to be, obviously, a licensed actuary to be able to run through. Our firm has an actuary. We have an actuary department because We work with a lot of governments, and a lot of governments have a lot of actuarial needs when it comes to IMRF and police pension and fire pension and the OPEB standards. So we have a whole actuary department that we could do it, but we don't like to sit here and sell you on it. There are obviously, you'll have choices, and we'll give Carol a list of two or three or four people, and then you guys as a board, and between Lisa and Carol, you guys can make your own decision of who you want to use. So.
Ron, do you think that's even something that Panorama, because of the Panorama health insurance pool, might offer some choices or even incorporate that service themselves?
Yeah. It's been talked about before.
Yeah.
When you get into certain pieces of the new standard, when GASB 64 and 65 came into play, some of those have gone out and provided it. You're paying for it one way or the other.
Right.
It would be really nice if Panorama stepped up to the plate and did it. The fallback of that is when the OPEB standards went into play first, which was 6 or 7 years ago, there's a group called the IPDC, and they provide health insurance, and they ran through Gallagher, and they went out and provided their own actuary and did this for all the members, and nearly all the members failed on that because they didn't like what that actuary was doing because they didn't have access to it and be able to understand the data. And so even though that pool went out and provided it, most of the entity walked away from it. So I think that set a little bit of a precedent. So we'll work with, obviously we're in the beginning phases, no one's implemented this yet. And as it rolls forward, we'll keep you abreast of what Panorama says, because I do think that membership's gonna come out and say, can you guys do it and get one actuary and provide it to everybody, because then the costs are gonna be a lot less.
Right.
So. Which was the idea of good government to me.
Right.
So.
Do any of the commissioners or staff have other questions for Ron or about the audit?
I'd just like to also thank Carol and her business team, Liz, the two of them, and do a remarkable job. We're very lucky to have that team. If you could tell by this audit, we have a very strong finance position, very well managed. So thank you. And to Liz, too, so please.
Thanks, Carol. Did this audit show you bring out anything of concern that you have not seen through your own careful management of our finances?
No, quite honestly. Obviously, we spent a lot of money for capital. And what Ron had said is, you know, we're investing for the future, and that was once we accepted and approved the master plan back in 2015, the goal was to continue to commit funds for capital, and last year was the first year, Chris can attest to it, with all the monies that were spent on all the projects. So I just think that's a really good testament to how we're operating, that we can provide fund balance reserves additional over the fund balance policy and devote that to capital projects, and then setting the priorities. I said to Ron earlier this evening, you know, we're at a point, at one point we didn't have a lot of money to do the projects that we needed to do. Now there's also stress, and we have the money, and what are the priorities? But it's much better on this side.
Well, thank you, because it's the foundation of this work that allows us to do all these other things that might be more typically called exciting.
Yeah.
But it's this is what lays the foundation to make that possible.
Exactly. Well said.
Any other comments or questions?
Right. Thank you, Ron.
Thanks,
thank
Ron.
You.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
All right, the chair, I direct staff on the discussion of the division to move the fiscal year 2016-17. Audit forward for approval of the June 20th board meeting, regular board meeting.
Perfect.
Roll call? All right, I don't do roll call. Okay, move it. All right, is there a consensus among the board?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Did I do that right?
You did. That was perfect. That was perfect.
All right, so now we have a discussion on the reserving portion of the current fund balance for future capital.
Yes, as in past years. This will be the sixth year. Once we receive the final audited report, we can kind of take a look at what our fund balance reserve levels are. We set 50% for both corporate and rec, 25% in all our minor funds. And what we really look to do, as I mentioned slightly earlier, is see what we are over and above the 50% guideline to then commit those monies to Fund 69 for future capital. And based on our fund balance reserves, I am recommending that we do $500,000 from corporate fund and $500,000 from recreation fund, still leaving a little over a 50% balance in corporate and about a 55% balance in recreation. I think we're a little bit more impacted by the kindergarten program that, you know, we're just going to see the full year effects this year. So I want to leave a little bit more in there. But I think, you know, I feel comfortable with the fund balance guideline at 50% to then commit those additional monies to Fund 69. And there's a resolution in your packet. Just shows you the format of it. It's similar to what we've done in past years. And that would be passed at next month's board meeting. Then we set the commitment, and then next budget year we actually transfer the monies.
It seems that we have, in fact, absorb that massive change of the schools going to a full-day kindergarten and been able to implement uses of our buildings for other things of our different spaces. I was frankly very concerned when we heard the school was going to a full-day kindergarten, and I think you guys have reacted in a very positive way to changing how we do things a little bit, or tweaking how we do things. So we have a lot of great offerings to fill other niches.
Thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an organized plan that we put forth.
I was expecting a bigger hiccup.
Yeah, our after-school program is doing really well, and moving it over to Watts was key to that. It's become so popular, we might have to divide it and go through some of those, but Watts seems to be a really nice location because one school at least can walk there, so that's been very, very popular. And then we have really strong teachers that were in our kindergarten enrichment programs that everybody wanted, and luckily they were flexible enough to move their programming to different times and kind of tweak those to different age groups, and we still, all those kids want those teachers. And so we're lucky to have that strong teacher and that following they just came with. So the four-year-olds still go to them, the older kids go to them. So thank you. We're happy with that.
So we've really gotten over the biggest part of implementing those changes and making those modifications. Mm-hmm. So going forward, it's more the tweaking and seeing what works and enhancing that.
Right.
And then so it's really, truly remarkable having
thank
been
you.
Around for a while and seeing how quickly we recover. And sidestep and proactively move around that. I thought it was going to hit our bottom line a lot worse, too.
Good. Thank you. Thanks for that.
But Carol, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Could you quantify what the impact was? And now you're saying, for the first time, we're going to see the full year.
Right.
So last year, remind us
yeah.
of that. So last year, we still had the months of March, April, and May.
Okay.
Where we were still running the kindergarten program, but it didn't start until September.
Got it.
Yep. So last year we still had 3 months of the fiscal year that showed revenues for kindergarten. This will be the first 12-month year where there's no kindergarten or related kindergarten programming that were all impacted by them going to the full-day school.
Okay, so about a third of the school year was missing.
Mm-hmm. And how would you quantify that for this year going forward? That third of the year was $68,000 or something?
Yeah, I want to say it was around probably $70,000. I can look and
okay.
let you all know that. But yeah, it was 3 months of activity for a
it
successful
cover
program.
Underneath us.
Yeah, it did. Good for the parents, but.
The only thing I wanted to comment on is it's nice to be able to have some extra funds to transfer into capital programs.
It sure is.
I've been in some governmental agencies where that's not possible.
And exactly.
Yeah.
It is. We're very
try not to
fortunate.
Spend it all in one place.
Right.
Well, I think the it's always about looking forward when you're doing something, what can do in the future. So when they were thinking about this building, not only is it a great asset for the community as a community center, but it is able to, you know, some of the revenue we generate on programs, we're able to put it back into the park district. Mm-hmm. So we're not making a profit on it. We're putting it all back into our infrastructure,
right.
which is important mm-hmm. in this economy. So it's very important. So I think you guys do a wonderful job of spending the money wisely in our infrastructure improvement, not just, you know, throwing it into gold-plated swing sets. So. I can only say that because the reporter's not here.
Yeah.
Because that was a quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good question.
Carol, I just have I think it's an administrative question.
Yes.
You refer to this page where you have the yellow highlight.
Right. The fund balance levels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called the fund balance summary.
Right.
So your note you're talking about taking 500,000 from each of the corporate and recreation funds and then put a slightly above 50% of both of those.
Correct.
That's slightly above 50% as of the end of the last fiscal year.
Right, as of 2/28/17.
Right, okay. Do you have any reason to believe that we wouldn't maintain that 50%?
I don't see anything significant at this point, no. I don't.
No. I mean, the biggest thing we'll watch throughout the year, and we'll be keep on watching legislation for a minimum wage increase, that will have a huge impact on us if that goes through.
Right.
So we're continually watching that. We continually, IAPD is lobbying on our behalf, especially for our seasonal workers. Obviously, our seasonal workers don't count on that to support a family, so we're trying to get things in there to make sure that those don't raise up as fast. But we have a lot of permanent part-time that work year-round, so that will impact our bottom line. And if it goes up that fast, that quickly, I don't know if we'll be able to raise the fees at the same rate. So that's why I'm glad she's keeping some buffer in there, because if that does happen, and who knows in Springfield how fast, right now they could be behind the scenes making deals to get the budget passed, and we could get a notice tomorrow that, okay, they passed it. So I'm glad she left the buffer, because if that happens, we'll have to, there'll be some, we'll come back and discuss what that means to us. But so something, if I send you an email, please contact your legislators. It's important to please contact your legislators, and I'll give you all the wording to indicate why we're concerned about that.
When we send something through to those legislators, should we send it as a resident of Glencoe or as a Glencoe?
As a commissioner.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As commissioner. Because we are the largest employer of youth in our community, and it would we would just turn it around and send it back to the parents that increase, so it would hurt everybody involved. So.
What is anything the else average hourly salary for a worker that's a seasonal summer worker working in our camps or at the beach, if their first or second year with us? What would you say?
Mike,
I'm not
you can answer that one.
Down. I don't know what minimum wage is now. I'm out of the loop on this. So
we're a little higher than minimum wage. So what is
minimum wage is $8.25.
Yes.
And we're probably around 9.25.
Yeah,
9.25. Sure,
we're above.
If you look at some of our, you have some older in the Teddy Bear camps, some of the preschool teachers then work camp for, so that probably brings it up a little bit more. But
starting is about 9.25 to 10.
For the high school cost, the first or second year with us, they would look at
9.25. Yeah.
And then if they have difficult qualifications, like we have a lot of teachers, so they get paid a little bit more. And if they come to us from a different camp, they might not start on that first year schedule. So we have a whole system in place.
That's through
But we're a little higher. But now I've noticed that, like Panera, they have it in their windows. They're starting people at $15 an hour. So the park district, all the directors are talking about, we're like, oh boy, we might have to raise ours because just to compete with workers. Now our job is a lot better.
Right.
We think.
They're not usually hiring high school kids.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
They're looking for people who are going to take their actual job.
Right. We're looking for seasonal that come and go. But to tell you how hard it is to find staff right now, NSSRA is down 49 staff compared to last year for inclusion aides. 49. They're having a hard time, and they've always had a hard time school year. In the summer, they've always been fine. They're down 49.
Why is that?
They just people don't want to work. They're sending their kids to like specialty camps or internships or things like that, and they don't want the kids aren't working as much as they used to.
There's no value in it. Got it.
Right. So that's another thing we have to do is we have to show value over sending your child to internship or to college, pre-college courses and things like that. So So there, that hasn't transitioned on us. We had no problem staffing, but I know Highland Park is having a huge problem. We were sending our leftovers to them. NSSRA, NSSRA is having problems, so it's just something we have to stay competitive. So we are constantly watching that. So that's something that may affect us eventually.
It also affects the non-prevailing wage services like landscaping and custodial cleaning. So if minimum wage goes up, like this year we're paying $35 a labor hour at low bid for landscaping services, and last year we're paying $25.
Yeah.
So as they've seen their costs increase, so they may pay a laborer $12 an hour a year ago, now they're paying them $17, they just pass that cost right along to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a low bid, legally bid number.
Yeah. So that's something we'll continue to watch. So that's why, later on when we start talking about benefits, some of those things are important to track people other than just salaries. So.
Right.
Good question.
Go ahead. Do we have any other questions? Okay. As Chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to move reserving a portion of the current fund balance for future capital projects forward for approval at the July 18th regular board meeting.
Perfect. Thank you. Carol, next one?
Yeah, the investment policy. So as a part of the distinguished agency process that we're going through this year, we're obviously looking at all the policies. This one, it doesn't really teach a whole lot because legally we're very tied to what we can do and our objectives are not going to change. But it was just more putting it into the new format that's going to be required for all our policies. I'm in the midst of putting together a business department procedures and policy manual so that they're all in one place, so that we can give it to staff, we can give it to board, that kind of drives the financial part of the district. So this was just the first policy that I attempted to reformat and to rewrite, and Jenny put it in the format. And so, like I say, it's pretty much the exact same policy, just a different format, and it's now going to be updated for this distinguished agency process. So I would ask that the board, if you have any questions on it, otherwise I would recommend that we approve it at the next board meeting as well. No urgency in it.
Where was the text of that?
It's a completely different format, and I can give it to you.
Okay, it's in this packet. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the green packet.
Anyone,
that was part of it.
But it's good for...
Well, if I may, I'd like to thank staff for doing this. Updating something once every 18 years is probably a good idea.
Whether we need it or not, we decided maybe we should do it.
That's funny because I was telling Lisa, finishing the manual that she's now in the midst of reviewing, it's been since I've been here, since 2000, that I've been wanting to put something like that together. And finally, to have the time to do it, it just feels really good. So it won't be another 18 years. I'll be long gone, I'm sure, at that point. But
not if I can help it. No, I'm just kidding. I'll be long gone.
Never say never, Carol.
Well, how old did you be?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
46.
Yeah,
right. Carol, reading the policy, and I may well have missed it, but I didn't see a paragraph or a section about cost of investments, like the fees that we pay to whichever.
That's built in based on the investment of there. I will tell you that for CDs through the liquid asset fund, we pay 0.15 percentage points on the investment. It's also the same for PMA, which is our other provider of CD. But typically, we'll get quotes from both of them, and based on whatever rate happens to be better on that particular day, the need of the investment. Our accounts through Harris Bank, typically it's not a fee that they charge. They waive all the fees, but there's a formula that they use as far as the interest rate we get, and it's much lower than what we typically would, because they build all the fees into that.
There's a trend in the investment industry towards lower fees for mutual funds and similar type assets. It's actually come down several dozen basis points over the past few years, or past decade or so. I think, presuming you and the other commissioners agree, would be wise to reflect that we consider cost the investments that we're making.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't do us any good at our 2%.
No, for paying.
Fees.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all part of the analysis of does it really make sense to do that. So I can add that as part of the policy.
Do you think it makes sense to include a sentence or a paragraph about something?
I could, yeah, I could probably draft something up to include that. I mean, it is. I guess it's kind of a little implied in making the decision, but yeah.
I've seen, for example, the state of Illinois college saving 529 plan several years ago was just terrible.
Yeah.
In terms of the fees that they paid, they redid it a few years ago. But you would think that a public agency would have everything in mind, but and I'm not saying you or anybody on this staff would not make the right decision, but I think that's the best practice.
Yeah, I would definitely look into
that. Thank you.
Okay.
Do you have any other comments on this? Investment policy. Okay. As Chair, I direct staff, based on the discussion of the committee, to move the revised investment policy as we discussed forward for approval of the July 18th regular board.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. We get a preliminary final extension report from the county. It's not anything that they've officially published yet as far as the details on EADs and tax rates and tax bills. That typically will happen at the end of this month, early July, for an August 1 second installment dues for taxpayers. But I was very happy to see that at least our EAD actually went up considerably after 7 years of tanking. We're starting to recoup where we were prior to the housing market crash in 2007-08. So it actually went up over 22%. So as from a perspective of what that means to tax dollars, it's not a whole lot because we are limited by the tax cap legislation. We're really limited by what the CPI is for the whole tax levy final extension calculation. But from a perspective of looking at how it shows, really we're starting to recoup values within our district. Our legal debt margin is based on EAB. Our tax rates are based on EAB. As EAB goes up, tax rate comes down. Okay, so it's an inverse relationship. A lot of places, as the EAB went down, we have a tax rate of 35 cents and I believe 30 cents in corporate and rec. In a lot of places, they don't have anywhere near that. So as the EAB went down, the tax rate continued to go up and it maxed at what their rate is. So they're very limited. We're very limited in their operational income that was coming in for property taxes. We didn't have that problem, but as it started to dip lower, I started to think that, ooh, it was actually a possibility. Now that it's jumped back up again, I don't have that fear. So it's a good thing, and again, really, it's the tax rate really is an inverse proportionate relationship to the EAB. So it's just a scenario of what we did last year to this year. Will it mean more in tax dollars? Ultimately, it's gonna depend on a collection rate, too. Because we can have our final tax extension, but if people don't pay their tax bills too, sometimes that comes into play. I think that happened 2 years ago where we actually received less than what we were really budgeting. Last year was good though.
Mm-hmm.
So just that it's more an FYI, there's nothing that needs to be done. There will be more information that comes forth from the county and we update our website accordingly. But it was just a kind of a heads up informational piece.
Do you have any other business or questions, comments?
I have one that's kind of regular business. It's kind of finance. We just had our last, our renter from Linden Property leave the premises. At that time when we did the inspection of the house, she had cats. and the cats did not always use their litter box. So there is a financial implication of that, which means we are holding her deposit, her security deposit and pet deposit, and then looking into how we can get those cleaned or carpets removed. Yeah, all the carpet that means, yeah.
So let me ask, are we actually preparing to rent it again?
No. So what we have to, we'd have to get rid of that order in order to put it up for sale.
Okay. So even though we're kind of assuming this would be, I mean, we've got all these plans to increase
yeah.
the property size and it would be a tear down, blah, 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 we're still having to make it
presentable
as a...
Yeah, otherwise people would really lowball us. If they walk in and they smell that, they're like something lowballs. So we'll talk to the realtor, which I plan to do, and say, hey, here's our status of this. We want to sell this. What is best to do? Should we get rid of this order that's through this whole house because we have that security deposit, or should we just leave it as is and sell it as is?
Uh-huh.
So I'll get her opinion on that, but I just wanted to let you know that in case you hear anything, we're holding that deposit back.
Yeah.
We'll send you a letter today. If anybody would like to smell the house too, just make sure we're making the right decision. Chris made me.
Let me know. I'll bring my mask.
Chris made me do it just to be a second.
The size of the lot is dependent on the code.
Oh, yes.
We're not selecting the size of the lot.
Right, right. Well, that's not a really financial thing, but we're looking at the size of the lot right now is dependent on code, so it will be bigger than the lot sizes now, but that's not really. Yeah.
Okay.
How much would that enter then?
This will be a 2.5 year, 2-3 year rental.
Yeah, it'll
3 year rental.
It will be.
Yeah, 3 year rental.
Does she already know about the deposit?
No, we're sending a letter. We had 30 days to send it. We just got the key back. We went in and looked at it. She had when she left the premises, she turned off the air conditioning, and opened all the windows. So I instructed Chris because it really smelled bad. Oh, it was all humid. Turn back on the air conditioner, let's see what it really smells like, and it's still pretty bad, so. Especially upstairs. He's like, it's bad. I go, it's not that bad. I went in there, I'm like, oh, it's pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, she might be in denial that it's that bad, but so you know.
I'll go with the zero pet store, so I don't think it smells bad.
Oh, maybe we'll have you do that then. Okay. That's it.
So I can tell you.
Okay, oh that'd be great.
It really does.
Please,
yeah. Yes,
as staff starts to put some travel plans together for the NRPA conference
yes.
this fall, I just booked something for my regular January trip to Denver at $98 round trip on American.
Denver's a lot cheaper than...
No, I get it, but my point is, I did this for next January. It'd be nice to get some advanced lead time as to when you'd like for us that are able to join you.
Okay.
I'd rather book my flights earlier than later, and in the perfect world,
so
we'd fly
email
one
out
way or the other with you all for fun.
I was just saying, my boyfriend is coming too, and he got $160 round trip rate.
Well,
so I don't know
where? Out of what? Really?
Same flight as we're taking there.
Wow.
So if you have an idea what your flight schedule is, it'd be nice to know.
Oh, okay. We already do. We know our flight schedule. Didn't we send out an email, Jenny, already on this?
I believe so.
Yeah. We'll send it out again.
Would you resend it to the senior commissioner that can't seem to find it?
We'll send it because we have the dates and everything. We know that the Golden Medal reception is Monday at from 8 to 9. So we will send it out again because we need a commitment before August 1st to get the deal. So, all right, that's all we have. Josh.
Okay. I entertain the motion to adjourn the
session. All right. All in favor? Same side? Any opposed? Didn't think so. All right. Thank you.